Hello and welcome to my podcast on photography. My name is Ewan Bell. This series started life as a YouTube vlog, but you can now listen to each episode here as a podcast as well. If you would like to watch the YouTube version, just head to my website or search for me on YouTube. I love getting comments from listeners and especially love getting inspiration from your questions. Thanks for joining me today. Today I got a question about whether EF lenses, the older DSLR lenses from Canon, whether they are a good option if you're shooting with a new mirrorless camera and don't want to fork out the money. The person asking this question was looking at buying a Lumix S1R and using it for food photography. Now the Lumix S1R is a 47 megapixel mirrorless camera. It's a beast, it's absolutely beautiful, but it's a lot of pixels. And my first point to him was, do you really need all those pixels? He was even talking about using the high-res mode where you get something close to 200 megapixel raw file by taking a series of shots, and in camera, it stitches those together. The sensor does a little dance in between shots, and that's how you get a really high-resolution image. And honestly, most of our clients, they're barely taking advantage of the 24 megapixels. We stopped using the higher pixel count cameras a while ago. We only use 24 megapixel sensors now because it's enough. It's all we need. 24 megapixels is twice what you need for a double page spread in a magazine. Once you get to a certain size file, you can put it on the side of a tram and no one's going to notice. The question was about lenses. Is the older SLR lenses actually worth it? If you've got older lenses and you want to use them, that makes a lot of sense. When we're in the studio, we're using the older S1H by Lumix. It's a really good camera. It's really solid. We have all the rigging for it, so it makes sense to us just to keep using it. And in the studio, we're not using autofocus a whole lot. It's very rare that we do that. We have a much more precise, controlled attitude towards what's in focus and what's not when you're in a controlled environment. And if you're listening to this on the podcast version, what you won't see is a camera that's roughly the size of my head. We've got the chunky S1H, we've got a cage on it, and we've got my old EF lens, my old Sigma 50mm, which was just so good on the Canon. It was sharper than Canon's 50mm f1.2. So this Sigma 50mm 1.4 was just beautiful. So why wouldn't I use that lens every day? Well, first of all, you need the adapter, and that's kind of chunky and clunky, and the EF lenses are pretty clunky anyway. The newer mirrorless systems really do take advantage of some of the physics, and they are just engineered much better. They're smaller lenses, they're lighter, and the autofocus performance is much better. Lens technology has just moved a long way forward since the old days of DSLR. And keep in mind that a lot of DSLR lenses weren't great to begin with. They were good enough for film, but they really started to show some of their flaws when you put them in front of a high detail digital sensor. You really got to be careful when you're picking a specific lens from a DSLR to put onto your mirrorless system. So sometimes it's about quality. Sometimes you just are going to get a better image quality from a much more affordable lens using a mirrorless system. And certainly that's the case with L-mount. But sometimes it's actually about just having a really, really lovely small lens, something that's convenient and lighter and still delivers amazing quality. So this is an f1.8 35mm lens. And it's tiny and it's light and it looks really good on the little S9 because that's the right size. And Sigma have one too. This one is actually the 20mm, the 35's off on a camera somewhere. But it's a F2 rather than F1.8. It's a little bit heavier than the one by Lumix. They've got an 18mm and the 35. They've got a whole range that are all the same size with the F1.8. Sigma have got these ones, which are in their contemporary. So it's not their best 35. Their best 35 is an F1.2 and it's big and heavy and it's a beautiful thing. But something like this is just so small. I just think that's really lovely. And that's the advantage with going with something native. You just get better options. why wouldn't you want just the smaller, lighter lens that you're more likely to carry and likely to have in your bag when you need it? We still use our EF lenses in the studio, but it's only because we already have them. And honestly, it's mostly sentimental value. They're not as sharp as the native L mount. And I'm sure that's the case for E mount and Z mount and RF mount and any of the mirrorless systems. If you're using the native lenses, the autofocus is definitely going to work better for you. But I think you get a better experience. You get the optimizations that are built into the lens as well, because with mirrorless systems, there's a little chip inside it that gives the camera information about how to correct for flaws in the lens. One of the downsides to this new generation of mirrorless lenses is that maybe they're a little bit boring. They're really good, they're really sharp, and they're clear. And if you take away all the flaws, the lens just maybe doesn't have as much character. It's not as interesting. And that's something I think you see a lot when people are talking about shooting video. For stills, we don't think about it quite so much. We don't think about the character that a lens imparts on your photography. Indeed, we pay extra to make sure there's no vignetting and that things are sharp in the corners and all that. And then sometimes we go in editing and we apply an extra vignetting, even though we bought a lens that doesn't have any. So I think there's a real challenge with the modern mirrorless lenses in terms of simply having a little bit of character that goes with the lens. They're designed to be clean and crisp and perfect and not have a lot of drop off in the corners and all that kind of stuff. But do they have as much character? Do they give you something extra that goes into the image? And is that what you want? I mean, is that what you want from a lens? Do you want it to have a little bit of a color cast or to be a little bit wonky with chromatic aberration? I'm generally quite happy with a lens that's clean. What I like about the mirrorless lenses these days is that you can get very compact lenses that are very light, makes it easier to simply travel with the gear. I can give an image a little bit of character when I process it. I don't need to have that coming through the lens. I don't need it baked into the image. I like to have a little bit of flexibility there. I like to give it character in terms of how I process the colors, but I want to start with an image that's punchy, has maximum contrast and has the clarity. Clarity is just a big deal. I don't want my colors going all over the place. If you do have some older DSLR lenses and you're changing over to a mirrorless system, by all means, I think it's worth getting those little adapters that'll go from the DSLR to whatever mirrorless system you have. They don't cost too much, and I think they're good value. They're worth having at least one adapter so you can hang on to your old lenses and make that transition. What I've found is having made the transition, it's very difficult to go back to those clunky old lenses. I'd rather start with the best possible image and give myself the flexibility to edit it from there. We're mostly talking about the context of shooting stills, and for video, I think it's a much broader field. I think the quality of image that most people are capturing for video, they're much less fussed. You can shoot stuff on your iPhone, and most of the time, that's going to be just fine. The limitations in quality, I think, is something we focus a lot more on with stills photography than video. I do like that I get to keep my EF lenses for when I'm shooting auroras. I've got this really old Zeiss. It's a 15mm. It's f2.8, and it's clunky, and it's just a work of art. It's beautiful. And I'll be honest, the newer Sigma 14mm f1.4 is just a way better lens and actually cheaper than what I paid for the Zeiss, which I think just underlines just how much lens technology has moved forward. Lenses are so much better now. Most companies have gotten better at what they're doing. Look at Tamron. They used to be one of the cheap lenses in the market, and now they're doing really good stuff. They're not doing primes, I noticed. They're not doing quite the level of quality that I see from Sigma. Sigma's art range are just exceptional, but they were better than Canon lenses on my DSLR anyway. So Sigma already were doing some great things, and I just think they've just brought that up a notch. So really, we're getting good value out of most of the mirrorless systems. I think some of the brands are maybe charging a lot of money, maybe too much for the lenses they're putting out, but you don't have to buy the very best mirrorless lens out there to get a great result. You don't need to get the f1.2 35mm from Sigma when you can just get the f2, and for most people, that will still be an exceptional lens. If you want the best, well, that's just going to cost you more. And if you do want the best, you're going to want the native lens anyway. So that's my answer to the lad who's thinking about buying DSLR lenses to put on his mirrorless system. I would spend the money on the native ones. You'll get better value out of it in the long term. I hope this has been helpful. I do love getting your questions and I look forward to chatting again soon.